All right, we're back now with Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff. And coach, man, you guys get challenged every week, but the boys seem to respond. And tell me a little bit about, first of all, welcome back. Thank you for taking the call, coach.
Oh, thanks, Rick. No, it's great to be on.
Now, the Beverly game, I actually watched that on Beverly TV, and the coverage was fantastic. The video coverage was very special. But the boys respond. You guys have a little adversity, or maybe you get a flat tire here and there. But the boys come back. So tell me a little bit about that game.
Well, we were very fortunate to, as you said, the kids did a really nice job of executing and responding to when Beverly scored. I thought Beverly did a really good job. Jeff Hutton and his staff, they do a really nice job there with the kids. And they put a lot of wrinkles in for the week that beat us, and plays where they were able to get some things going, and we didn't do so great defensively. So the flip side of it is our offense played a really good game, and we're able to respond each time that Beverly scored. So unfortunately for us, though, you know, another way to look at it is if a team scores 25 points, they should win, and we could have lost that game very easily. So still lots of things to fix, but, you know, offensively, we're very happy with the way we played.
The competition is tremendous now in the games you're playing. And I want to go back a couple of weeks ago to the Peabody game when you blew the doors off of the Tanners in the first quarter, the first half. And then all of a sudden, late in the first half, Peabody started feeling pretty good about themselves and flexing their muscles. And tell me a little bit about that one, because that was a game where they challenged, and they were in that game for a little bit there in that second half, but then, again, the boys just rose to the challenge.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it is we've had some mental lapses on defense where kids have been caught kind of napping. And, you know, schematically, there's things that we need to fix and change, and then certainly, you know, we need to work with those players and work with the kids and try to get better in those areas. But, you know, what happened, I think, in Peabody sometimes is we went out and got a big lead, and the kids, it's hard to stay focused, and that's not okay, and I'm not making excuses for them or for the team, but unfortunately, that's one of the things that happens, and I think in Peabody that happened a little bit is we jumped out quickly, and then the last thing that you're expecting is this, that, or the other thing. Shea Lynch, their quarterback, and the whole Peabody team deserves a lot of credit. They never gave up in that game. They could have early. You know, Lynch got his ankle banged up real quickly. He was limping around. They were banged up as a team. They had a couple kids out. And they fought hard the rest of the game. And like I said, unfortunately, we were caught napping a couple of times. But we scored early in that one, which helped us out a lot. And so we just had to kind of stay in the game the rest of the game. But credit to Peabody for that game.
Okay, then you move forward to the Masconomic game, another one that was back and forth until you guys took command. What about that one?
You know, that was different. Masco came out guns blazing in that one. That was very different than anything we've faced all year. We've had good starts all year, and in the Masco game, we just were not ready at all for them. They've got some exceptional players over there, and they did a really good job getting ready for us. So when that game started, we were just caught flat-footed. And again, unfortunately, a lot of the mistakes were made when you went back later and saw them on tape. It was a very capable player taking a bad angle, you know, maybe, you know, having the wrong footwork or something where it's something certainly correctable, but a bunch of those things added up really fast. Masco took advantage of them right away, and we found ourselves in a hole. The nice thing, if there is a nice thing, is you could say that we learned a little bit more about ourselves and being able to come back from that, you know, having to come back from being down, but also face adversity. What was good as a coach is seeing the way the team responded emotionally, and the way they pulled together at halftime, just the way as a team they kind of responded to it, but then certainly the way they carried that out onto the field. Once they went out on the field, they executed. And that carried over, I think, into Beverly, where we were able to counterpunch every time they punched us in the face.
As a teacher and a coach, You strive for excellence, if not perfection, and I don't think perfection is ever achievable. I just don't go along with that. But you do strive for excellence. And coach, in all the years we've been talking, you're, I don't want to say this indelicately, but you're never satisfied because there isn't perfection on one level. Is there a situation? No, let me rephrase that. How do you handle frustration, Coach? Because you are a teacher, and I know that as a teacher, sometimes you get frustrated. You can't. You got to handle it differently with different kids, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So how do you do that over the years? Do you sort of recognize in players, or is it something that as the practices go on, you sort of have to understand each kid, and then how it relates to the other kids?
Yeah, I've had really good teachers myself, and one of the best things that was ever said to me real early on was when I coached for Dan Bauer. He said, you know, never yell at a kid unless you, before the day ends, you plan on pulling him aside and explaining why you yelled at him.
Oh, wow.
That you're not mad at him and this is why. And that was probably one of the best things someone ever said to me, because I will yell at someone, and I think it's extremely effective, that second kind of meeting when you meet up with the kid afterwards and say, listen, this is why, you know, and this is why it's important. I think that's one part of it. I blow my top a lot on the sidelines, and one of the things that I've just kind of figured out on my own is that the kids will feed off of your emotion. When I'm, you know, pissy, moany, bitchy about the reps, as I was in the Peabody game, the kids will latch on to that, and that they'll make that their focus, and it takes their focus off of the game. And you know, more than any other regret that I have coaching, you know, on a ride home after a game or something, is I'll think about that and think about, God, you know, I shouldn't have said that to the ref, or that emotional about it, or whatever. And not because I'm, you know, it's because you see it right away that the kids, in a very negative way, will feed into that. And I think for all the head coaches, they probably realize that same thing. So more than anything, that's the one, like, kind of regret thing. I mean, of course, if we make a bad call, we regret that, but in terms of, as you said, fiery, emotional, yelling, any of that stuff, I think more than anything else, that's the thing that I notice. If I do something stupid with my emotions on the sidelines, the kids levitate to that.
Very interesting point, Coach. Thank you for bringing it up, because I think that's true across the spectrum, and it doesn't get pointed out enough, especially with some of the amateur sports coaches that are out there. And Coach Ingram always stressed the fact that football is such a collision sport. It is so emotional. And I know that there were times, Coach, I got to tell you this, there were times when I was teaching that I would wake up in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning, sit straight up out of bed, slap my forehead and say, holy crap, I said that to this kid. What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, I do that with the referees. I mean, I feel like I wish every Monday could be a referee, a powwow sit down where I explain myself. I had a great encounter at halftime. I had one of the referees come up to me and explain to me one of the things that I had been complaining about, what was going on and why they were calling it and seeing it the way they were.
Oh, okay.
And that, I'll tell you, as a head coach, that means everything.
Mm-hmm.
When a referee will not explain something to you, it builds, and it just, you get ready to explode. When the refs come over and just explain something to you, I'm a human being, and so I know someone can come up to me and tell me, Coach, you're wrong, and I'm fine with that, but just at least have that conversation. You're wrong, that's not happening, this is why we're not calling it. Anyhow, the refs did a great job at halftime. They came up to me, and Skip Likens was the ref.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And Skip said something to me about, now, we're not going to listen to you anymore about that, but if you feel that it's good for you to blow off steam, or if you feel like, you know, you just need to yell at us to blow off steam, then I'll let the rest of the guys know that's what you're doing. And it just,
All right.
One of those things where you looked at him, I looked at him and I went, you know what, then yeah, I'm going to keep yelling. Everyone that I'm blown off steam.
Oh, that's great.
That changes the way you coach a game. You know, with the referees, it's such an important and integral thing, because, like I said, the kids will feed off of it. And I just get mad at myself sometimes when I make my focus the refs.
Oh, I get it, yeah.
it's just dumb, you know.
Well, you know, but also you mentioned Coach Likens, and he's seen it from both ends. And so, you know, understanding that it's a teachable moment. And that's one thing I do appreciate when I see officials explain not only to coaches, but also to kids during a game, because it is part of the educational experience.
Yep, love it. No, nothing better when a referee comes up to you and says, "Coach, your tailback's leaning. Your number two receiver is too close to the line. Your guy's doing this. You know, I'm gonna call him next time." Like, I think it's high school sports,
right?
You know, I think it's critical. If you can do that, that's terrific. I think as a referee, and they don't owe that to us. But when you get that at the beginning of a game, it really helps the relationship during the rest of the game.
Awesome.
And mm-hmm. you know, we as the head coaches can do a better job with the referees of that too. Just, you know, trying to maintain a better relationship, because it just, the kids see it and it doesn't do anybody any good.
Coach, it's an incredible league this year. It's great to, we haven't mentioned masks or vaccines or anything once, and we're not going to, although I just did. Tell me about what the focus is now, because you guys have a week off.
Well, you know, we have a week off. The big thing is getting healthy, you know, regardless of whether or not you have serious injuries or anything. All the kids are banged up. All the kids are sore. So to give a couple extra days off, let them rest a little bit. We went back into the weight room and ran yesterday. We'll do three regular practices this week, and then get together this weekend and do something, you know, in the weight room or film or walkthroughs or something, and then have a regular week next week. But the bigger thing is gives the kids time to heal, get to see the trainer. If kids are going to see chiropractors or if they have PT or anything like that, it gives them a chance to get in there. But then most importantly, what the kids appreciate more than anything else is having a little bit extra opportunities to go and see their teachers or get some work done.
Mm-hmm. In school. All right. Well, Coach, finally, you know, it's an incomplete at this point, but what kind of a report card do you give to your guys? And let me rephrase that. What are you most pleased with so far with your team?
You know, just great group of kids to be around. It's a good group of kids. They don't mind hard work. They don't mind being told they're doing something wrong, and they'll listen to how to fix it. I think more than anything else, that's been the good. Certainly with any success or any failures, you know, you're going to point to those as being the good or the bad part. But with our guys, I think just putting in the work, and having the attitude that they have is going to lead us to success, because we are who we are. You know, we're playing all good teams this year. And, as you can see, everyone's, you know, there's no 0-60 games. You know, everyone is most of the games people are scoring and people are having some success on one side of the ball. So it's very different than it's been in years past.
Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.